Croix de Guerre, written by Peter M. O'Shea. As a young boy, living in poverty on the coast of Ireland, I learned the meaning of struggle. During my first year in America, I survived the treachery of tenement life. As a teenager, I helped my family move west and endure the hardships of Homestead Act farming. Over the course of my life, I've met men and women like Theodore Roosevelt, Jane Addams, W.E.B. Du Bois, and John D. Rockefeller. I nearly lost my life during the Triangle Factory fire in 1911. I have truly lived a full American life. However, this story is not about me. It is a tale of three friends and their contributions to society. It is a story of surviving Jim Crow, graduating from Tuskegee, defending one's country, and being men of color. I proudly present Harris Wiggins and the Mitchells of Manhattan, or you can just call them the Harlem Hellfighters. France, March 1918. Having arrived in France 3 months earlier, the 369th Regiment, formerly known as the 15th, had spent nearly every waking hour performing labor-intensive tasks. Willis Mitchell's hands throbbed from the months of digging trenches. Reese Mitchell's back ached from the constant bending and shoveling. Harris Wiggins only felt pain in his heart. His pride was being stomped on, and he did not like it. For nearly 4 years, the European Allies had battled the dirty German Huns. Recently, French and British troops had been continuously pounded by the Germans. The Brits and French were desperate for American help. Therefore, the Yankees' arrival in late 1917 was an overwhelming boost to the Allied cause. However, when the 369th Regiment from New York was assigned exclusively to labor duty, the soldiers could not believe it. After all, the Allies desperately needed troop support. Willis, Reese, and Harris grew impatient. If it wasn't trench digging, the all-black regiment was assigned mundane tasks, like carrying supplies or delivering food to white troops on the front lines. Although the 369th Regiment wanted to join in the fighting, most white soldiers refused to serve beside a black man. The French troops were baffled by the segregated American military. For years, the French had been besieged by a constant onslaught of German invasions. They were desperate for American assistance and could care less about race. On April 8, 1918, my friends from the 369th Regiment would change the course of the Great War. It was a drizzly, overcast morning on the Western Front. Allied troops, especially the French, were in the middle of suffering overwhelming casualties. A French division that was bogged down with the Germans in a trench warfare stalemate had requested supplies and ammunition from its American allies. When Colonel Haywood received word of the request, he immediately made arrangements for the 369th Regiment to assist the French. Haywood rounded up 20 of his most reliable troops and plotted out the delivery details. Among the selected soldiers were my friends Harris Wiggins and the Mitchells of Manhattan. Accompanying the boys from Harlem was a gentleman named Henry Lincoln Johnson, who was from Albany, New York. The four men were to be joined by 16 other members of the 369th. It was a risky mission, but if successful, it could dramatically give the French military a much-needed boost. The main goal of the selected soldiers was to hand-deliver a variety of military supplies. The French were in need of ammunition for their machine guns and pistols. Also, fresh socks and medicine were in high demand. Hayward pulled out a map of the nearby battlefield. He pinpointed the exact area where the task should be fulfilled. Colonel Haywood appointed Willis Mitchell to lead the other 19 soldiers. Mitchell's orders were to travel on foot and head southeast for roughly 3 miles. Once they had reached the estimated rendezvous spot, they were to locate France's reserve trench. The Colonel assured everyone that there were no enemy trenches on the route and that the French reservists would be expecting them. At 6 a.m., the 20 selected members of the 369th Regiment set off on the history-making journey. The New York natives weighted their supply bags with ammunition, canned food, dry socks, and medical supplies. Willis Mitchell bravely guided everyone through the open fields, flanked to his left by Corporal Henry Lincoln Johnson, to his right by Harris Wiggins, and in the rear by his younger brother Reese. Willis felt invincible. Standing only 5'4", Corporal Henry Lincoln Johnson was certainly not an intimidating man. All his life he had been smaller than the next guy. Even back in New York, when he worked as a subway porter, people overlooked him. But the years of hard labor had chiseled Johnson's body into a lean, mean, statuesque figure of a man. His small frame allowed for rapid movement and extreme endurance. Back at Camp Wadsworth, Henry Johnson dominated every physical challenge presented to the men. Together with Willis, Reese, and Harris, the men formed a dynamic quartet. As the men methodically crept towards their Allied friends, every member of the squad stayed alert for enemy fire or a sneak attack. The open lands of the Western Front seemingly stretched for miles on the horizon. After walking for nearly an hour, the 20 members of the 369th spotted the French outfit's reserve trench. The men approached with caution, and Willis Mitchell greeted the French leader.
"Hello! We're from the 369th. We've got some supplies for you boys,"
Harris Wiggins stated.
"Merci, monsieur. Je vous montrerai la voie au ligne de feu,"
replied the French soldier. Dumbfounded, Harris Wiggins looked at Henry Lincoln Johnson and shrugged his shoulders. Willis Mitchell pushed up his eyebrows and gave the Frenchman a questionable glance. Reese Mitchell stuck his head to the front of the group as if he could translate. Harris finally replied,
"Look here, Frenchie. Johnson there's from Albany. The three of us are from the 130th Street in Harlem. Unless you drop the cute talk, you can carry the supplies to the front line."
"Oui, oui, monsieur,"
blurted the playful Frenchman. He giggled for a moment, but soon settled down and assisted the Americans. After getting a detailed explanation in English, the New York soldiers began the hike towards the front line. This time, the journey was through a maze of winding pathways known as communication trenches. Some parts of the trenches were lined with wooden planks, making it easy to maneuver. Other areas were mud-infested earth, which forced the men to stumble awkwardly along. A foul stench permeated the air. It was a combination of body odor, death, stagnant water, and human feces. Despite the obstacles, the American soldiers kept their mission in mind and continued onward.
As Willis Mitchell ventured towards the front line, visions of Camp Wadsworth, South Carolina raced through his mind.
Back at camp, the 369th had taken part in dozens of trench warfare simulations. For the first time since arriving in France, Willis and his fellow patriots actually felt like soldiers.
All the preparation, sweat and bloodshed were now seemingly worth the agony. As the men progressed, they were met with wide smiles and pats on the back. Unlike many other white American soldiers, the French troops were truly grateful and welcomed the 369th Regiment. Eventually, the boys from New York reached the front line and began unloading supplies.
Two worn-out French soldiers walked over to help organize and distribute the supplies. The French front line was obviously depleted from months of fighting on the Western Front. 10 to 12 men were sleeping. Others rested their weary heads by using the trench's back wall for support. 4 or 5 men peered over the top, searching for enemy activity. It was obvious that the French were completely exhausted. They didn't have time for racism or segregation. America's help was needed. It did not matter if the assistance was from white or black Americans. Suddenly, as the supplies had been unloaded, divided, and ready to be dispersed, several muddled, panic-induced shouts rained out in French.
They sont de tranchée! They sont de tranchée!
They sont de tranchée! They sont de tranchée!
The French began scattering and running wildly about the trench. Willis Mitchell abruptly turned towards his regiment. He shouted,
"Trench raid men, get ready boys, this is war!"
In a matter of seconds, 24 incensed Germans pounced into the trench. With their bayonets thrashing forward and angry screams being unleashed, the Huns had created mad chaos. The tired French lookouts had completely missed the sneaky Germans, and now a bloody encounter was unfolding. The Huns had entered the trench on a mission to slaughter the fatigued French soldiers and conquer more land on the Western Front. Several Frenchmen made it to their feet, just in time to have a bayonet slammed into their bodies. Grunts and groans filled the filthy trench air. America's allies were overwhelmed by the enemy. Fortunately, a few of the more alert French troops managed to retaliate. It wasn't until the New York Regiment came to their aid that the French were truly able to defend themselves. The Mitchell brothers both reached for their Colt revolvers at exactly the same instant. Shots rang out, filling the trench with wild echoes. The Mitchells did not miss their targets at all. 6 shots had been fired, and just as many Germans were lying dead in the mud. Out of the corner of his eye, Willis alertly noticed his brother stumble and fall against the trench's back wall. A German bayonet was inching towards Reese's torso. Instantaneously, the youngest Mitchell brother flung himself out of the way. The bayonet slammed into the back wall. Reese Mitchell twirled himself behind the enemy. 2 other members of the 369th immediately gunned down the German assassin. Like a raging bull seeing red, Harris Wiggins charged at a group of Germans. Once he was within reach, Corporal Wiggins delivered a Harlem haymaker directly to the face of the most vicious German he could find. The knockout punch landed on the bullseye. Harris Wiggins grabbed the fallen German's rifle and began slashing his way to safety. Harris resembled an artist who had gone mad. With a bayonet as his paintbrush, he single-handedly annihilated 4 savage Germans. In the meantime, the 17 remaining members of the New York Regiment had joined in the struggle. Additionally, the French troops finally found their second wind and were fully engaged in the violent melee. Unarmed, except for a bolo knife and pistol he couldn't reach, Henry Lincoln Johnson found himself pinned between 2 enemy assailants. The Albany, New York native had no room to maneuver. He was isolated in the trench with 2 raging German warriors on each side. The Huns both jammed their bayonets towards the American. Instinctively, Johnson dropped to both knees, whipped out his machete-like bolo knife, and began slashing for his life. The bolo knife served as Johnson's only hope. He swung it back and forth with overwhelming speed, intensity, and force. Both Germans fell to the ground with their uniforms shredded and covered with blood. Henry Johnson sprang to his feet, headed directly for a crowd of Germans, and proceeded to obliterate every Hun in his path. Slashes and screams reigned supreme as Henry Johnson eliminated the enemy. Like darkness setting in on a tiresome day, the New York volunteers owned the trench fight. Only 1 German remained, and he wanted nothing to do with the newfound enemy. Submissively, he held his hands up and pleaded frantically for mercy. No one understood the cowardly Hun's words, but his body language and sheepish cries communicated his feelings perfectly. Henry Johnson approached the German with his bolo knife dripping with a collection of enemy blood. Johnson raised his weapon of choice and prepared to conclude the battle. Willis Mitchell yelled over to Corporal Johnson.
Hold up, Corporal. I've got a better idea.
Willis stepped in between the two men. His eyes radiated with American intensity. He knelt down at the feet of a fallen regiment member and yanked the 369th patch from his sleeve. With great force, the group leader shoved the patch into his enemy's chest and sent out a warning for all of Germany.
Do you speak English?
The German nodded and whimpered.
Yes.
Read this. It says 369. Take it to your commander and tell them that the Harlem Hellfighters are in the game now. Run, boy!
Several Frenchmen grabbed their opponent and shoved him upwards out of the trench. In an instant, he was gone. But the legend of the 369th Regiment was just getting started. The next day, America loaned France the Harlem Hellfighters. For 191 consecutive days, the 369th Regiment fought with the French. During their 6 months in the trenches and in battle, countless regiment members were killed. My good friend Harris Wiggins lost his life only 2 days before the Germans surrendered. Fittingly, the Harlem Hellfighters never had a man captured or lost in battle. Before leaving Europe, 171 members of the 369th Regiment were awarded one of France's highest honors, the Croix de Guerre, Cross of War. Willis Mitchell, Rhys Mitchell, Harris Wiggins, and Corporal Henry Johnson were among the recipients.
Though Willis Mitchell and Harris Wiggins have been my best friends for years, and have now written history, I will never truly understand the racial injustice they have experienced. I only hope that all of New York and America will recognize the contributions of our fellow citizens. This American O'Shea is blessed to have known three American heroes. Harris Wiggins and the Mitchells of Manhattan embody the American spirit. Today, let us honor them.